haven't happened but would happen. And we're living in a lot of these prophecies today. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, the generation that sees Israel become a nation again will be the last generation before he comes. And Israel became a nation in 1948. So, church, we're close for our God coming. Those of you who are saying, no, God, I've got other plans, don't worry about it. You won't be disappointed when you get to heaven. Amen. You know, you won't miss out on anything. We're coming back here for 1,000 years, if you will. And if you want to still establish some things, well, that'll happen after 7 years. Hopefully, most of you understand that. Amen. It'll be 1,000 years before we ever get to live permanently in heaven. And I believe that we're going to have access to the new earth as well as heaven as saints of God. And that's another message. So if you go to Micah chapter 5, verse number 1, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." Of course, we're talking about our Lord Jesus. And that's exactly what they did in that trial. They hit him in the face. They beat him mercilessly. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." Prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, where he's going to be born, how great he is going to be. And then if you'll turn to Luke, the second chapter. Verse number 4. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And then John, the 7th chapter. John chapter 7 and verse 42. "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing upon your word, God, that, Lord, we'd be strengthened by it, that we'd be washed by it according to your word, that through it, Lord, we would have wisdom and knowledge to sustain us, God, of what is going to be in our future. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. I don't know if you recognize, but about Halloween, I was starting to hear Christmas music. Every year, it starts earlier and earlier, not because people are so in love with Christmas, but they're so in love with merchandising, you know? And frankly, I get a little tired of some of those songs over and over again, and I guess for almost 72 years, I've been hearing the same songs over and over again. But thank God that we don't get tired of our worship songs over and over again. They're literally Christmas songs that we sing all year long. Better is one day in your court. Amen, amen. wherever you go this time of the year, you hear Christmas songs. You hear Christmas songs, most of which you've heard over and over again from people that are already dead. A lot of them were composed in the 50s by people who weren't Christians, like Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby. And, you know, they were songs that aren't updated every year to what the music industry says is good. But thank God they haven't been. You can understand the words, and it's got some meaning. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, joy to the world, hallelujah, amen. I read that in the 18th century, the celebration of Christmas was almost banned completely because it had turned into a drunken spree and led to much crime that was going on. And so there were some wise men who had a solution, and they thought, let's sing more. You know, you can come in here and be angry. And all of a sudden, the sounds of worship flow in here, and it changes our attitude, it changes our disposition. And so it was the introduction of Christmas carols, soothing the savage beast, and crime at Christmas time significantly dropped. You know, when Saul was troubled by an evil spirit, he called for David. And David started singing the songs of Zion, you know, and all of a sudden he had peace. You might want to try that. Amen. The next time you get angry at work, the next time you have problems with your relatives, the next time the boss irritates you, start singing some songs and maybe it'll soothe the beast. Our song service changed us, caused us to be more open to God. So, what's your favorite Christmas carol? My favorite Christmas song doesn't have any reindeers or sleighs or bells or toys or Santa. Amen. My favorite is a song I sing all of the time. He's God in the Father. Yeah. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. He's God all three in one. Oh, he's God. Now that's a Christmas song that has meaning. The world needs to hear it. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Amen. It's all about the real meaning of Christmas. It's about the God who became man to save us from our sins because we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't get good enough. There is one song that is a favorite of mine at this time of the year, and that's because it comes from the scripture. There's something about singing scripture that's awesome, but it's O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Hopes and fears, they seem to go hand in hand. We have hopes, but what if? What if I buy that house and then I can't make the mortgage payment? What if I get the job, but then they don't like me? What if I marry that girl, but then it doesn't work? What if the hopes and the fears, some people never do anything because they have so much fear that they're not going to do well in it. And we find that this song and many other Christian songs are played over and over in malls. What's amazing is nobody rebels. No one says, stop the music. You know, I'm not going in the store again if you're going to play those Christmas songs because I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in Jesus, so I'm not going in the, you know what? What happens is those songs are preaching to people who aren't Christians. Amen. And I'm glad for that. Yeah. Amen. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which means the city of bread. It was known as the city of David. It's where David tended his sheep and drank water. and was refreshed. In fact, it was such a refreshing well in Bethlehem. I remember being there. I remember drinking from that well years ago under a starry night. I thought, this is about as close as I can get to where Jesus was than anything else. In fact, David, when he was in trouble, he wished that he'd have a drink from that well, and his men risked their lives being taken to get him a drink from that well in Bethlehem. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. They have a church built over that place today where Jesus was born, but it's not the same. Bethlehem, too small to be considered a great city of Judah, you know. Yet, out of the least of the land of Judah came the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think the concept of man is that, you know, God has got to come down a golden spiral staircase with flashing lights and people. In fact, the Jews didn't recognize when he came in such an ordinary fashion, you know. The song said, the hopes and fears of all of the years are met in thee tonight. What's your problem? I know the answer.
Amen.
It's Jesus.
Amen.
I so many times are asked to minister to problems that people have. Many times I don't have the answer, except I know the God who has the answer, who can help us when man cannot help. The doctors say, I don't know what's wrong, but God knows what's wrong, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do with my finances, but I know that God knows what. Hallelujah. Fears dominated at the time that Jesus was born. I mean, if I were God, I would have come at a time when there was peace on earth and goodwill towards me, if there was a time like that. But when he came, I'll tell you what, there was a lot of oppression. Roman oppression ruled over the people with a heavy tax, you know. Some things never change. A perfect time for Jesus to come is when things aren't going well for you.
Amen.
Most people find God when things are not going well for them. Amen. They've tried everything and everything's failed, and now someone says, why don't you come to church with me? You know, this hasn't worked and that hasn't worked, but I know a God. You know, it's like the little maiden who said to Naaman, I know a God that could take care of your leprosy, you know. Hallelujah. A perfect time. He doesn't come to people who are confident in themselves, but is born to those who have broken fragments.
Amen.
Lives that are split open and don't have any answers. People who are looking for peace when there is no peace ever around them. I always think of the night that I got the Holy Ghost. And people were praying for me for almost 3 months to get the Holy Ghost. I must have had 50 people around me when I finally got the Holy Ghost, and then everybody wanted to celebrate because they got this guy filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember going to my house, and we had some people over, and I was sitting around. I was sitting in a chair thinking, nothing else matters.
Right.
You know, house is burning. Somebody ought to call the fire department. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I was in the process of developing a subdivision, and I had hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake, and I didn't know if it was going to be a success. But at that point, I thought, who cares? You can have a peace in your life that nothing matters to you. Nothing. Hallelujah. What can come against me, like the song says?
Amen.
You know, if God be for you, who can be against you? The hopes and fears of all of the years for such a time as this, my Jesus was born. I've got the answer for you. He came just for you, for your situation. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus didn't enter into the world in a time of peace. Just the contrary, but he was just what the world needed. then and now. If there was ever a time that this world needs a Savior, it's now. There's more fear going on, wondering if somebody's going to break into the building and shoot everybody. We've got a God who can give us a peace that passes all understanding. But he was just what the world needed. He was and is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the only one who can bring us peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, praise him. Give him your petitions, and the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your mind and your hearts on him. In fact, nobody can have real peace without him. In 1806, Napoleon devastated Europe with a rampage of killing. It was fierce. The whole continent was up at end, and Europe at that time was just recovering from the bubonic plague that literally killed millions of people. I mean, could it be any worse than then? The average life expectancy at that time was 40 years old. Such devastation the world has never seen. Millions, literally millions of people died. But also in 1809, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born, who would change the entire world. At the same time as devastation, someone came on the scene in order to change the devastation. You know, when we have the worst year that we've ever had, it seems like God is closer to us then. He is more able to take care of us because we're finally getting to the place where I surrender, God, you take over, God. That's all he's been waiting for. Give it to me.
Amen.
Cast your cares on me, for I careth for you.
Amen.
That same year, in a dirt floor cabin, a baby boy was born in Kentucky named Abraham Lincoln, giving rebirth to the land of freedom. The destiny of the world isn't shaped by wars, but by the birth of people who had an influence on the world long after they're gone. There are some people who have had influence in my life that are no longer living, but I'll tell you what, it has changed me and caused me to take a stand that I would not have unless they were involved in my life. And the same is with Jesus. He's affected more lives than anybody on the face of the earth. No one has changed the world like the birth of Jesus, our Savior. Nothing and nobody can change your situation like Jesus can change your situation. I wonder if we take too much on ourselves by I'll do this and I'll push through this and I'm used to being independent. I'm used to taking care of. I'm determined. Okay, all of that's wonderful. But you know, you need to rely on him to take care of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He and he alone can bring peace into your life.
Amen.
And the fact of the matter is, one of the greatest attributes of living for God is having the peace of God in your life. If you want to go to Bethlehem, and there are literally thousands of people who go to Bethlehem at this time of the year, you won't find peace there. It was the birthplace of the Prince of Peace. Bethlehem Square is filled with violence. The sons of Abraham fight with one another, Isaac against Ishmael, Arabs against Jews. There'll never, ever be peace in that region. And although there is no peace in Bethlehem, there is a peace in the one that was born in Bethlehem. And you can take that peace with you wherever you go.
Amen.
Amen. We shouldn't have to be afraid of anything. There are more people who are crippled by fear than sickness.
Right.
Peace is not a place. Peace is a person.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. Now, many of the words we find associated with the Christmas story have their origin or meaning different than what language we use today, like magi. We hardly ever use that word, magi, or swaddling, or nativity, or Noel. We don't use language like that. But the word Noel is found in Christmas hymns, the first Noel. Noel is an old English word, which is an abbreviation form of a longer phrase meaning now all is well. You know, the Jews were looking for the Messiah that was going to take care of all of the oppression from the Romans. They were looking for somebody who was going to come and give them peace, but they figured that he was going to come and he was going to dominate and he was going to rule over Jerusalem and the Middle East and put under all of the enemies. But you know, that's not the way God operates. He operates from the inside out. He gives you peace in the middle of the storm. The apostles couldn't understand. They're in a boat and they're about to sink, and Jesus is sleeping in the end of the boat. What's wrong with you? Don't you care for me? Have you been there? My boat's about to swamp. God, do you know what's going on? And through that, we build our confidence and our faith in our God, because we know nobody else is going to see us through the storm. In preparation for pastoring, I went through one of those years, and you know, I didn't like it. But it did something for me. It caused me to be more tenacious and understanding. I had a greater faith in God. He was going to take me through it because nobody else could. Amen. You see. Noel, meaning now all is well. Jesus came into our world. Now all is well. After hearing angels sing, frightened shepherds would then say, Noel, now all is well. Wise men from the east, after seeing the Christ child, could say, Noel, now all is well. I can hear the aged priest Simeon and Anna just about to die, but they had an opportunity to look upon the face of the Savior and say, now all is well. You can't say now all is well until you meet the one who makes everything well in your life. Hallelujah. And it's just not a one-time meeting. You need to meet him every day so he can reassure you, hey, it's going to be all right. I said to Sister Tompkins, I said, you know what? It's going to be all right. Next year is going to be a great year for you. Those of you who have gone through some things this year, I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. God is going to give you. He's going to reward your faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, the oppressed, the weak, the sick, the lonely can cry, Noel, now all is well. We have heard the saying, all is well that ends well, but at Christmas, all is well that begins well, because Jesus starts a new life in me, and my future is well. Amen. I know where my future is. I don't care if you're sick. I know what my future is going to be. Amen. I know if you're a little concerned about what's going on in your life. I know what my future is going to be. Tonight I point you to a manger and a cross and then an empty tomb and then an upper room. Noel. Now all is well. Amen. See, we have to go to the manger this time of the year. Then in April we'll go to the cross, and then in June we'll go to an upper room you see. But we have to have our experience in each of these places, grateful for the birth of Christ, grateful for Calvary, grateful for those who got the Holy Ghost, grateful for me receiving the same gift that they got in the upper room. But I have to have a relationship with that God. Jesus is born that I might live. He was wrapped in rags that I might be wrapped in clean white linen. Hallelujah. He died so I did not have to die. No, well. Now all is well. Born in a manger that I might be a mansion. And we are. He robed himself in flesh that one day we could be clothed in light. He made himself of no reputation that the world could see the church stand out in glory. He has given us his name, which is above every name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. A name above all names. There is a name, you don't understand it, it's inscribed upon each and every one of us. It's like the signature on a masterpiece. When God is done with us, he has signed and numbered us, and he has set us aside from everybody else in the entire world. We are a privilege. We are the sons of God and daughters of God. We are someone because not who we are, but whose we are. Hallelujah. I feel sorry for dignitaries and those that are making millions of dollars because the world applauds them when we, not much to look at. Well, we're far superior because of whose we are in the name that is on us. Glory to God. Years ago, I read a story and I probably used it before, about a preacher's little girl interrupting him as he was finishing up his sermon. And she said, "Dad, I just want to spend some time with you. I just want to play with you." And he said, "Okay, I will do that, but you got to give me about an hour in order to finish my sermon." And she said, "Well, Dad, when you finish your sermon, I'm going to give you the biggest hug, you know. And so when you're done, I'm going to come back and give you the biggest hug." And she got to the door and she ran back to him and threw herself on him and hugged him. And he said, "I thought you were going to do that after I was done with my sermon." And she said, "Well, I'm going to, but I just wanted you to know what you could look forward to." At Christmas, church, we especially who have received the Holy Ghost, heaven's embrace. Now we know what we have to look forward to. He's coming back when the sermon is finished. He's going to gather us up in his arms, and he's going to take us out of this place. Amen. To a place that he has prepared for us, that eye hath not seen, ear has not heard. It has not ever entered into the imagination of the things that God has prepared for them that love him. This morning at about 6:45, I looked out the window, and the sky was absolutely gorgeous. It was kind of a light blue and pink, and I'm thinking, my God, you know, some of the things that you have made are so incredible, and I've been around in beautiful places in this world, but it can't compare. I've often thought of what heaven's going to be like, but show me the streets of gold later. Just show me Jesus first. Amen. I want to see the one who's died for me. I want to see the one who's healed my body. I want to see the one who's given me peace that passes all understanding. I want to see the one who cared so much for me. I just want one hug. Amen. The sermon is almost done, folks. He's coming back for his people.
Yes.
Would you stand with me, please? I don't think there's a better time in the year to minister to other people, because it seems like they're just open. I've had more people outside of the church come to me and say, what is that church all about? And when are the services? And I know we've all been disappointed by inviting somebody and they haven't. But you see, some plant the seed, others water. There's a process. Many of you were invited years before you even came. But this year, I want you to be tenacious at the table with your relatives. Because I don't want it to be one day too late for them. I don't want to get to the place where I should have talked to them earlier. Not because of the rapture, but because every one of our lives is like a vapor that appears and then is gone. And you don't know how long you have your family around you. But I want them to get the same hugs that I get. I want to have them walk on the same streets that I'll walk on. I'm going to make it. I'm determined I'm going to make it. No one's going to stop me except myself. And as long as I make myself accountable to this congregation, to this book, to my God, I'm going to make it all the way. You see, we are our brother's keepers. Amen. And I thank God for, like I said earlier, for people who are faithful. They're coming to church. They're paying their tithes. They're ministering to each other. They're doing the work of the evangelist. They're in love with God, and they're like the shepherds who are saying, come on, come on. You've got to see what I see. You've got to hear. You've got to feel what I feel. It is the season. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?